Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Welcoming my colleague Mary Kissel, the Executive Vice President of Stevens Incorporated, former Senior Advisor to the Secretary of State. The story in Europe is a crisis over migration. The story in North America is a crisis over migration. It's a worldwide problem. Generally speaking, it's about the global south moving to the global north. There are different countries, there are different regions, so I stop the generalization and go immediately to a story from the EU right now. Germany has closed its border, imposed border controls west and north, especially looking out for young men from Muslim countries who do not have the language. In fact, they remove them from vehicles, buses, trains, if necessary, and turn them back to the border. There are calls for more severe conduct. What we're looking at is the EU failing to have an answer for Germany, and the Chancellor of Germany, Olaf Scholz, moving precipitously because he's saying right now, I'm going to lose in Brandenburg unless I make a show of controlling our borders. This is Germany. Germany is the engine of Europe. So I welcome Mary to comment on Germany doing something that would have been unimaginable in 2015 when Angela Merkel made the decision to permit hundreds of thousands of young Muslim males, sometimes women and children with them, but mostly young Muslim males, to enter Germany, still a source of turmoil in Germany. But that decision was made in light of benevolence, virtue. Mary, where did virtue go? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. Well, former Chancellor Angela Merkel's decision to welcome migrants mostly fleeing the civil war in Syria was made in a different era. You didn't have Hamas's invasion of Israel and the movement of people. You didn't have Putin's invasion of Ukraine and the movement of people. You didn't have Libya in a civil war and the movement of people out of there. And you also had a different set of philosophies. You had a very strong sense of, as you say, tolerance, multiculturalism, the idea that people of very different cultures and backgrounds could be integrated successfully into German society, and it didn't work. And Angela Merkel, who was in office, by the way, for 16 years, a very long time, took what was once a conservative party with conservative values in Germany and moved it to the center left. And in doing so, and also by remaining in power for so long, really prevented new leadership from moving up the ranks of the CDU. So it's interesting to see that party start to reorganize itself, start to move back towards its more conservative roots. I don't think that they spurn immigrants. I think they just want a more regulated and regular system to vet and to admit and to integrate people who want to move into Germany. So it's going to be an interesting time in politics in Germany over the next year as that election approaches. And I think you're going to see the CDU start to try to take over the space that until now has been occupied by the Alternative for Germany, which is, of course, much further to the right than the CDU. And I think Merz will try to take back some of those voters from the AfD. We'll see how he does.
Migration in Europe right now is a tangle of different governances. I note there's a headline, hundreds of migrants storm Spanish border from Morocco. Large-scale attempted crossing was organized on social media. That's a scare story in Europe, but let's come home to America. It's a story here as well. Mary, does the State Department have a hand in deciding about the border controls? Does the State Department talk to Homeland Security? How does it work on the Washington level? Not the big decision makers who make the announcements, but working together. Do you have interagency groups when you have a crisis? How does it work?
Well, the State Department is not in charge of the security of our nation's borders, but it does play a role in population, refugee, migration policy. There's a bureau called that, shorthand is PRM, which is labeled as the Humanitarian Bureau of the Department of State. And they largely adopt very liberal migration policies. They try to work with nations, for instance, like Turkey, who have taken millions of refugees and try to resettle them in other states to take the burden off of Ankara. They work in places like Kurdistan with refugees there. They work in South Asia, people fleeing the civil war in Burma. They work across Africa. But they're not a very big agency. And again, they have a political agenda that is often at odds with conservative administrations. When you talk about U.S. border security, it's multifaceted. It's not just the southern border. It's the northern border. It's, our ports. It's people swimming up onto the beaches of Miami. We're a really big nation, and there are a lot of ways to get into the United States. But one of the biggest problems that we have does touch on the State Department, which is the consular affairs, where you'll have people of means flying in and then just overstaying their visas and disappearing into the United States. And that's a very difficult thing to track because we are an open society and it's easy for people to disappear here. And that makes the physical border security just that much more important. But it also makes the reform of our legal immigration system important, which is something that is not really a major debate right now, because you don't get elected based on an argument to reform the legal immigration system. And it's almost something that a president would need to do in his or her second term in order to achieve that. So lots of angles there, John. I don't know if you want to explore any of them, but it's a complicated issue. And State Department has a role to play, but it's not physically patrolling the border.
I've been trying to imagine what the German policy would look like here, because the Reuters photograph accompanying this story has two heavily armed Polizei, a young woman carrying a long gun, and they're both in body armor approaching a vehicle at a border crossing. I don't imagine that could happen here, but maybe it could. We have an emergency in Europe, so I'll just leave it. No conclusions. I'm not campaigning for anybody. I'm looking at we've got a worldwide phenomenon that shows no indication that it's going to stop. Millions more will follow unless and until there's a policy in the EU, there's a policy in the United States. So let's turn to another policy that I puzzle about whether the State Department gets involved. That's the decision to recommend, as President of the United States, that Nippon Steel not be permitted to buy U.S. steel, Japan to America. That opinion has been joined by former President Trump, by Vice President Harris, and by Senator Vance, all four of the major figures in the politics of the moment, to block Nippon Steel. Mary, this is a puzzle. Again, it's a State Department puzzle. We have an ambassador, Rahm Emanuel, who is extremely effective and very outspoken in has done a terrific job keeping the Japanese on side through the conflicts with China. This would appear to be a diplomatic insult to Japan, especially because I believe some of the candidates, if not the president himself, cited national security for a reason to block this purchase. Nippon Steel is number four in the world, and U.S. Steel, I think, is either 24 or 25 or 26, and needs help. And Nippon Steel says it's going to help. Is this State Department matter? Can somebody at State speak up and say, what is going on at the White House? Japan is our ally.
Well, in terms of the current administration, it's clear that the Biden team has decided that it is politically advantageous to look anti-foreigner, even if the foreign company, in this case, a Japanese company, is an ally of the United States. And it just, I think, points to the political moment that we're in, John, where there's very little nuance in terms of how we approach trade policy. It's a turning inward, and it's afflicting both parties. And as you rightly point out, President Trump had a great relationship with the late Shinzo Abe, the former Japanese leader. We pulled them again into the Quad, which is Australia, Japan, India, United States, started cooperation with them on a number of matters, economic and military, as well as diplomatic. They're very close allies of ours. They're very important allies, not least of which because of their proximity to China, but also because they're one of the largest economies in the world. We need them to be strong, and they're isolated in terms of their energy resources. They have to import energy. So they rely on us. We have troops there. So you're right to say to a major Japanese corporation, no, we don't really want your money. It's really not about the economics, John. It's not about saving jobs. It's about posturing for votes in a swing state like Pennsylvania. That's really what it comes down to. It's unfortunate, but this is what happens in election cycles. You have political parties pandering to bases and doing things that ultimately go against the voters' interests. It's sad. I hope that there would be some reconsideration when President Trump is reelected, but we'll see. It's once these populist movements get going, they're very hard to stop, economically speaking.
Mary Kissel is the Executive Vice President, Stevens Incorporated, former Senior Advisor to the Secretary of State. We're going to stay in Asia when we come back. China bullying the Philippines. The Philippines and the United States have a mutual defense pact. Where is it? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.